So today we're going to talk about a story that talks a little bit about life after death. And you've heard me say this 1,000 times, and I'm going to say it again. If I'm a preacher's kid, right? So I've lived my life in church. I can't read scripture without a tune coming in my head. Because I have done so much music. I'm sure Lois is the same way. Many of you that are singers, every time I start reading, the tune comes in my head. So I'm going to ask you to listen to what Judy's about to play and tell me if you know what this song is. Anybody know it? Alice knows it. Dip your finger in the water, come and cool my tongue, cause I'm tormented in the flame. Lazarus. Not the Lazarus you're thinking, the other Lazarus. Nobody knows that song. Dip your finger in the water, come and cool my tongue, cause I'm tormented in the flame. Okay. Well, it's a Texas thing. It is not a Texas thing. I knew that before I ever went to Texas. If anything, it was a Kentucky thing. Yeah, it's a great song. But I'm going to tell you something about that. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 16. That's where we're going to be looking at scripture today. And I've known this story forever from that song as a kid. But we're going to dive a little bit more into it and talk a little bit more about some of the verses that are in here. So it's Luke 16, starting in verse 19, and we'll read 19 to 31. And then we'll come back and talk about it. There is a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared scrumptiously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumble which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray ye therefore that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one who rose from the dead. Now, do you remember the story? Yeah, remember the story? You just didn't know the tune, did you? Oh, I love that. Did you know the tune? No. Oh, my gosh. Must be a Southern Baptist thing. Okay. So let's look at this. I want to break it down verse by verse, and I'll be quick. And you're lucky because I forgot my watch at home. That may be good or bad. So let's look at verse 19. So it says he was rich. He flaunted his wealth through his dress. Now, it talks about purple. We've talked about purple in the past, and I know Harry's talked about it. Tyrian purple is not just a dye, but it's also a type of cloth that they had back then. It's a type of cloth. And it was only had by the very wealthy. I mean, the Bill Gates of the world, right? Only the very wealthy. But it goes on to say, he also had access to the best white linen undergarments money could buy. So to have both of these items, this placed this man in the category of the riches of the rich. Now, we don't think that today. I mean, we see people in nice clothes and we think they're doing all right and they have good money. But back then, purple and white linen undergarments, there was a handful of them. I mean, they had everything. They had everything. It goes on to talk about his feast. Not only were his garments a status symbol, but his daily feast also revealed enormous wealth. The rich commonly held dinners for others. Remember the story of the lost son? The son came back. What did they have? A massive feast. Kill the fatted calf, right? So rich people had feasts all the time. If you ever studied Rome, Romans ate a lot. There's a story about the Colosseum. Do you know what the word Colosseum means in Latin and where it came from? So it's actually, and pardon me, like vomitorium because of the people that come out of it so quickly. Does that make sense? Have you ever watched a professional football game after? Have you ever went to one afterwards trying to get out? Actually, where's Dick and Elaine? Where, I can't see you. There you are. You were at the concert yesterday. You thing you told me this morning, trying to get out of the parking lot was a nightmare, right? So Romans ate so much, they had special rooms they went to expel the excess so they could go back and eat more. Did you know that? Yeah, yeah. So I'm off topic, but so rich people had massive feasts. And some of that is like the Pharisees that would come and drop their alms really high. Remember the dropping of the alms so everybody could see it? And the lady that came with what meager that she had and she tried to hide it because she was so ashamed. And yet Jesus said what? She gave more than everybody else. So the rich would have these massive feasts so people would know how rich they were. You would get invited. Back in the, well, I'm going to date myself. Back in the, you know, 30s and 40s, meals, did you know meals took like 4 hours? They took a long time because it was a major event for a meal. It's also where tipping came from, but that was for better service than just normal, but I won't get into that story, okay? But they would have, so food has always been an indication of wealth, okay? So you have clothes and you have food. The other verses will move faster, I promise. All right, so verse 20 and 21, as wealthy as the rich man was, Lazarus was just as poor. He was a beggar at the gates, looking for anything that would fall off the rich man's table. He was thankful for a morsel. And it goes on to talk about that the dogs licked his sores. Now, some people, my wife included, dogs licking open sores, there's something in their saliva that actually helps heal sores. If you didn't know that, there is something there, okay? These dogs weren't licking his sores to heal the sores. These dogs were licking his sores because they were just as hungry as he was. They were looking for food. So you have the richest rich guy that's out there, and you have Lazarus that has absolutely nothing, and they both die. Lazarus dies. Well, back up. So Lazarus is at the point of death. The rich man died in his mansion. Lazarus died. It just says he died. What happened to Lazarus as soon as he died? As soon as he died, angels took him directly to Abraham's bosom, which we would call heaven. No purgatory. No, you got to wait and see. No, we got to do this. I'm not going to get into all that theological debate there. But this is in this verse of the Bible, he went straight to heaven. You didn't pass go. You didn't collect $200. There's nothing else you needed to do. When he died, he went straight to heaven. The rich man just died and was buried. Notice how they said was buried? That's another indicator of how rich he was. They had a nice service and they buried him in a nice place. Lazarus probably ended up what? In what we used to call a potter's field. That was it. So they're in heaven. This is the other unique thing. They're in heaven and the rich man can see Lazarus. And we like to talk about heaven and hell being apart from each other. Right? We think we're going to be in heaven and it's going to be wonderful, it's going to be glorious, and we're going to sing, and we're going to play harps on clouds and everything else. Right? We might be able to see those in hell. Family members that never believed in God. Friends that never accepted. That person you passed when you had the opportunity to share and you didn't. I'm not trying to convict. I'm just giving you examples. That also means those people that are in hell will see us. And at that instant, they'll probably get smart. Oh my gosh, bet on the wrong thing. There was a gentleman years ago, I don't remember his name, and he looked at it this way. He said, atheists believe there is no God. Everything can be explained with science, that there's no God, right? That's what atheists believe. This guy goes, you know, if they're right, they're right, and there's nothing after this life. Big deal. But if they're wrong, think about it. If they're wrong, and he's like, you know, I think I would bet on the other side. I think I would bet on the other side. Because I would much rather find out after I die that there's another life and be on that side than to be on this side that's going to be across the chasm. And that's the other thing. There's a massive chasm that you can't cross. And so what did the rich man ask? Number one is he still saw Abraham as a servant. Did you notice that? He still saw Abraham as a servant he saw Lazarus as a servant. Why? Because he asked Abraham to send Lazarus, somebody way beneath him in his stature, take Lazarus, let him dip his finger in the water and cool my tongue. Dip your finger in the water, come and cool my tongue, because I'm tormented in flame. Man, that tells me there is going to be flame. There is going to be flame. There's going to be torture. Unending torture and torment for those that have said, God might be there, might not. I'll find out when it's over. You know, when it's over, it might be too late to find out. Amen. There are going to be a lot of good people. I tell people, there are going to be a lot of really good people that are not going to be in heaven. They're not going to be there. They may have given to church every Sunday. They may have showed up for church every Sunday. But if they did not make a personal conviction and confession to Jesus Christ as their only Savior, they will not be in heaven. And it's hard on those of us that know that and try to help people understand that. The second time the rich man reaches out, he doesn't see Lazarus as a servant. Because, you know, he wanted to bring him water. He sees him as a person that can now go and help his brothers not make the same bad, poor decision. Would you at least let Lazarus go to my father's house and talk to my five brothers? Because if a dead guy shows up at their house, they'll believe him. What did Abraham say? They got Moses and all the prophets, the people living with them right now, telling them what they need to do. Do you think somebody dead coming from back, they're going to believe? I mean, this is RB. All these shows with ghosts and everything, I just find that bad. Because it's just, I know it's entertainment, but it's telling people, you know, yeah, people can come back with all these shows about seeing ghosts, and they go in and they, have any of you watched any of those where they have these special meters? Oh, the temperature went down 5 degrees. There's a spirit here. Yeah, there's spirits everywhere. You know who the bulk of the spirits are? The evil one's angel, Satan. It ain't the good people that are in heaven. Why would they come back to this world? I wouldn't come back to this world. I want to stay up there. So Abraham is looking at him and going, they get to make their own choice. God has provided them with his son. He has provided them with what they need to believe in. They need to make the decision. What's the old saying? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. What's our job? Leading him to the water. Aren't we called the Great Commission? Go ye therefore into all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded thee, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Our age, depending on your translation, right? We are called to lead. When I studied this story, and I have to admit, when I first was looking at it, all I could hear was the tune that Judy played. Because as a child, you think of somebody in a really bad place being tormented, and you think of somebody just a dip of water on their tongue. Now, have you ever been really thirsty working out in the yard? You know, I mean, just parched. And everybody's asking us, how do you like that triple degree weather down in Texas in the summer? I said, Judy loves it. RB sweats like a pig, but Judy loves it. Strike that out of the recording. A drop of water is not enough to quench your thirst or to even relieve you of the heat. But it is so bad. He just wants a drop. A single drop of, think how bad it has to be. I mean, I've been outside working in the yard. I know it doesn't show, but I've been outside working in the yard, and I'll kill a whole bottle of water because I'm so thirsty. Then the second one, you kind of pour over your head to cool yourself off, right? He just wanted a drop. He is so tormented in hell that just a single drop of water would relieve the torment. For a split second, a nanosecond, a picosecond. That's all he wanted, is a single drop of water. So many times in our lives, we've heard people say, I bet you can finish it, if I had only known, right? We always, what do they say about hindsight? It's 20/20. Yeah. Isn't that what we try to teach our kids? I mean, our kids don't get it. You know, you're trying to help them make good decisions. And I have a wonderful granddaughter, and I love her very much. But she is one of those, I want to experience it myself. No, you really don't want to experience it yourself. Let Papa B help you here. No, I want to experience it myself. I want to see what it's like. Okay. We try to help our children know what's right and what's wrong. Train up a child and they won't soon depart from it, right? We live by those scriptures and we teach them those things. And it breaks our heart when they don't listen. Now, there's joy in our heart when they come back later and they realize, yeah, you know what? You weren't so dumb, Dad. You know? Now that I look back on it, you're pretty good. That usually happens when they get kids. Yeah, everybody understands when they start having kids, they're like, you know, all those things you maybe do, clean up my room, take out the trash, mow the grass, you know, that was probably pretty good stuff, right? In our lives, there's so many things we can be thankful for. I just pray that when I get to heaven, there's no if and or buts, I know, when I get to heaven, that there's not going to be somebody that St. Peter's going to look at me and said, you know, they came up here and they said, if they had only known and you had the opportunity. We get so busy in our lives that we sometimes let opportunity slip. We do. This week of Thanksgiving, may we not let any opportunity slip. All of us know people that have not made a decision to follow Christ. May they not be the person that when we see St. Peter, or that we look across the chasm and we see them there, because we didn't take the opportunity to share what Christ means to us. And it's not about living a good life. And it's not about giving money to charity. It's not about just being a good parent. It's about sharing God's love for all of us. What can separate us from the love of God? Nada. Nothing. Absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God. We can reject it, but God's love is still there. Did you know that? Nothing can separate us from His love because He's giving His love unconditionally. Doesn't matter if we cleaned our ear or cleaned up our room or took out the trash or mowed the grass or whatever. He loves us unconditionally. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Can the devil separate us from the love of God? No, he cannot. He tries to get us to follow him. He does things, you know. We win the lottery. We were really sick and now we're better. We're like, hey, I'm good. Yeah, I did that. No, no. God heals. And God uses the doctors and the medicines and everything we have in this world to heal us. But God heals. And he also heals those people that have not listened to him. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God. I want to jump to one other quick reference. I have no idea what the time is, but I want to go to one other quick reference. What was hell prepared for? Well, somebody said, did you say it? I heard it. The devil and his angels. So in Matthew 25, chapter 25, we're not going to turn there. It's just a quick reference. In Matthew 25, there is a whole list of parables in one chapter. I think it's probably the chapter that has the most parables in it. The 10 virgins and their lamps, 5 that were wise, 5 that were foolish. Remember that story? The giving of talents. To one he gave 5, to one he gave 2, to one he gave 1. What did they do with their talents? Well, the 5 invested, the 2 invested, and the 1 did what? Hit it in the ground? Guess he didn't take care of what God gave him. And then we come to the separation of the sheep and the goats. Remember the last part of that where Christ comes back and he's separating the sheep and the goats? Did you feed this person? Did you clothe this person? Did you care for this person? He separates the sheep and the goats between the two. All of those are in Matthew 25. But in verse 41, we read what Lois has already said. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil has angels. You knew that, right? He has angels. They do his bidding in this world to make us feel like I did that. That was me. That was all me. Anybody remember Flip Wilson? The devil and the angel on his side. Remember they always bickering back and forth? Anytime you stand up and you're boasting and you're prideful, you're probably listening to the devil. You're not listening to the angel on the other shoulder. The other angel would be doing what? Praising and thanking God for what he provided. And that's what this week is all about, Thanksgiving. It's all about Thanksgiving and what he has provided for us. There are many commentaries and lessons about angels in the Bible. And angels are something that Southern Baptists kind of stayed away from outside of, you know, talking to Mary, talking to Joseph, the heavenly host. When we start getting into this, do they exist today? Are they here today? Are they among us today? We kind of tend to stay away from that. You start getting into all these theological debates and everything. Angels exist. They're here today. God uses them. Every day. Every day in our lives, he uses them. I would suggest if you've never studied that, there's a great book by Billy Graham. I can't remember the name of it right now. On angels. And if you want to read about them, Billy Graham wrote a great commentary about that. In one of the commentaries, I want to leave you with this thought. And this is a direct quote out of that, so these are not RB's words. The presence of angels should be reassuring to the children of God. Although throughout Scripture, some have been frightening and confused by the presence of angels, both Paul and Jesus seek to reassure us of their purpose. As messengers of God, they are welcome companions at the time of death. God has promised to never leave us, Hebrews 13:5. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he has promised he will be with us unto the end of the age, Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The story of the rich man and Lazarus reminds us that our life on earth does not always express God's favor on us in the way that we might prefer. Only God knows why he loves us as he does, and why we experience the ups and downs of life. One thing is sure, nothing can keep us from his love if we are his child. Amen. Father, you have provided so much guidance in the ways for us to live our lives. You have provided the angels to care for us and to take care of us, to guide us and to direct us, and to fight off the angels of the evil one that's in this world. Father, thank you. In this week of Thanksgiving, may we never fail to thank you for all that you have given us. You love us without condition, and there is nothing that we can do to separate us from your love. May we take advantage of every opportunity to tell others about your love and about eternal life. For we ask these things in your name. Amen.